But I'm not gonna let them catch me, no. Not gonna let them catch the Midnight Rider.
Chris McMichael.
Yeah! I got a sting in the car right in here. That's what gets my voice all good. That's a good one. Yes, sir! Yes, sir! 12:02 on the fan. We made it. Friday morning. Let's go. 888-808-1019. We got Rami still hanging out on the other side. Fleegs is with us as well. And we got you for five straight hours on our five-hour midnight ride all the way to 5 a.m. in the warm-up show. 888-808-1019 right here on the fan. And Met fans, that is one of those games. This is one of those wins that you take with you, that you put on, as Rami said as I walked in, you put on the championship DVD if there is one. We're going to find out about this team because last night, that's one of those wins in a situation where they respond off of that injury. Watching Griffin Cannon go down to that very unfortunately familiar sight of the extended leg, the vibration in the calf muscle, that slight little pop that we all have seen far too often in our sports visuals here over the last couple of years, mainly in basketball. We'll get in. Fleek just gave me a good tidbit about when it's happened in baseball. Think about it. It's been pitchers in these Brave Mets series to see them go down. But this game last night, coming off of the win the other day, to channel this win, to come out there, Griffin Canning on the mound, 0-0. You got a rookie going against you. And Griffin Cannon goes down, he lays on the floor, and we all know after watching the replay that he is done, not only for this game, but unfortunately for the rest of this season. And I feel terrible for him, and they were talking about it on the broadcast, you can sense the feeling around the team. When that happens, it is a very difficult thing to overcome because you're thinking of your teammate, your friend, the guy you've been going to battle with for now 80-plus games, is laying there on the floor, and he knows it. Whether or not it's been reported or we know exactly the extent, but everybody knows that is a significant injury. And this guy who's resurrected his career here with the Mets, who's turned himself into something, who I've been calling Exhibit A of the pitching lab as one of the premier, like, turnarounds. Like, we've seen other pitchers obviously come through here with the Mets over the last couple of years and either resurrect a career or change who they are or whatever the case. None more than Griffin Canning, who is a guy out in Anaheim who couldn't get it done for the Angels. Was this close to hanging on to a rotation spot with a franchise that's been as bad at developing starting pitching as any in baseball, and he's been great for the Mets this year. And you're looking to salvage a series against the Braves. You're looking to win a big game heading into Pittsburgh this weekend. You're looking to solidify that it's the end of this drought. You got Philadelphia getting swept out in Houston, and this is a huge game. And as the manager said in the postgame, when Griffin Cannon goes down, not only does it affect the entire team, but how the hell are you getting through nine innings? This is a team that we've talked about, this pitching staff, that I've been more inclined to blame the offense, but there's no doubt that this pitching staff has not been as good lately, and it's not getting deep into games. And you have a constantly calling up different guys, including Austin Warren, who gets called up today and thrusted right into it with two outs in the third inning, and Austin Warren is really good in there. You got his family. I'm assuming that's his family. I was watching the game. My kids are yelling, and they're showing, you know, him, his wife and his mother or whoever, you know, praying that he gets through it. He comes in and does an incredible job. Daniel Nunez comes in and looks like the guy who was last year. We haven't seen him in a long time, but he comes in and has his best outing in forever. Shut down the Braves, and the Mets come through, Pete Alonso with three hits, to rally in that manner, to win the game as crisp and as clean. I know there's a little issue with some base running and whether or not you could have scored on a tag up. Ultimately, a clean, crisp game. They come through with the big hits. Pete Alonso gets hot again, three hits. Jeff McNeil kind of bookends these two games. These two games that have now hopefully turned around their season. It started with McNeil making an incredible catch in center field. robbing a home run, looking great doing it, and it's kind of capped off in the bottom of the seventh with a two-out, two-run base hit that gives the Mets a four-run lead that you know they're not going to relinquish, and they win these last two games against the Braves. They get themselves back into first place, and now, hopefully, this is a game, and these are two games against the Braves that have stabilized your season because you're about to go play the Pittsburgh Pirates, who we all know are terrible. And this is a time now where you hope, I mean, listen, if they stub their toe in Pittsburgh, we're going to feel different. But right now, you're trying to ride this momentum off of these two games, and you take it right into Pittsburgh, and you go and sweep the Pirates, or at least take two out of three, and you feel like you've stabilized yourself. As bad as this whole thing has been, as ugly of a stretch, losing 9 of 10 as it's been, they are now a half a game up in the division. They have at least won a couple of games and salvaged the split in a four-game set against the Atlanta Braves. And they did it last night responding in a way you want to see your team respond. They did it with a toughness. They did it overcoming an enormous obstacle of losing their starting pitcher in the third inning due to a devastating injury and watching him lay there and watching him being hobbled off the field. And that team had to respond. And Austin Warren comes in and pitches an incredible couple of innings. And then Daniel Nunez comes in and does an incredible job. And the two of them stabilize the game. The offense does just enough. Pete Alonso hot again. Still have issues with Lindor. But Alonso hot. Obviously, Soto continues his good month. You get the big hit from Jeff McNeil with two outs, which is a huge hit in this game. I know they're already winning 2-0, and they don't give up any runs, but that cushion of another two runs is a huge hit, and that stamped the game as a win. That is the kind of win that hopefully you can build on and turn your season around. That's what, and not that the season necessarily needed turning around. They just needed to stabilize what was going on with this team. And now, obviously, moving forward, the rotation is in flux, right? You needed this win because right now you don't know. Obviously, Canning is gone. They're assuming it's a torn Achilles. It is. Let's be honest. We all know it. And that's another conversation here. It hasn't been a major issue in baseball yet, but we are seeing these Achilles injuries at an alarming rate. It is crazy what's going on, and we know it. Like, we know it the second we see it. It's no longer any sort of, like, oh, there's a telltale sign because the way he hopped. No, we could watch the replay. You see the vibration in the calf muscle. We have been conditioned to know what that injury is. Then the Mets come out and it's an ankle injury. We know it's not an ankle injury. We know it. When the tweet goes out that, you know, Griffin Canning has left the game with an ankle injury, we all know that's not the case. That is a devastating injury, and everyone in the ballpark felt it. And the Mets get off the deck and go and win that game. And now, yeah, the rotation moving forward is in flux. You still got Senga, who you're hoping to get back maybe, you know, after the All-Star break, early August at the latest. Manaea, who knows, he's been reshut down because of the loose body in his elbow. They're hopeful it's just a very short-term shutdown and that he'll be back on the mound relatively soon and back into the rotation relatively soon. But you don't know. McGill is injured. Like, right now, the rotation kind of is just Clay Holmes, Peterson. Like, those are the guys you really count on right now. So, like, yeah, that is still an issue. This win does not solve all the ills of this team. There's still an issue with the back end of the lineup. There's still an issue now, clearly, with the rotation. We're going to see how much the bullpen can be pushed here. But this is a game against the Atlanta Braves that, let's be honest, over the last 20-plus years and through the first five games of this season, they lose this game. They lose this game. Your pitcher goes out in a devastating injury, lying on a heap in the floor against the Atlanta Braves in the third inning, and you have to spitball the rest of that game. You have to tape together the rest of that game with relievers you don't trust, kids just brought up from the minor leagues. Like, that's how they're going to get through this game. And not only do they get through it, they shut them out. You get home run from your guy, obviously, who's now, we talked about it yesterday, Juan Soto, who's obviously blossoming here in the month of June and becoming the star that we all know he is. Alonso comes through with three hits after slumping. McNeil with the big hit. You come back. You pitch incredibly well. You shut down the Braves, and you win a game that you haven't won for 20 years, that you haven't won for 2 weeks. A game that hopefully now leads to a good stretch against a bad Pittsburgh team, and maybe you could start to build some confidence. There are still issues. You have to worry about how this rotation is going to look. We're going to find out. Vientos is going to be activated today, and that's a decision right now. You know, Mauricio gets another hit in this game. There's really no point of having Young on this team. I'm interested to see what they want to do with this. This is going to be an interesting decision for the Mets, and it kind of felt like that they decided to give it one more day before they made the decision. They put, obviously, Mauricio in the lineup today, and it felt like, well, let's give it another day. We don't have to make the decision today. We weren't going to play Vientos anyway. Let's see if Mauricio comes through with another couple of good at-bats and he gets a broken bat single in this game. Like, if he comes through, we'll see. I think right now he deserves to be up here. And I think most Met fans would agree. You let me know at 888-808-1019. I'm assuming we would rather get rid of Young. I'm assuming we'd rather keep Mauricio on this team. Now, there is the benefit of going down to the minor leagues and getting regular at-bats. I'm sure David Stearns, knowing the way he operates a little bit, would love to get some more seasoning for this guy. But right now, you don't have the option other than playing your best lineup, because the rotation that once was carrying this team, even with the win tonight, moving forward, you've got Montas off of one good start. You've got Clay Holmes, who's already pitched more innings than he's thrown his entire career, and the walk numbers and the home run numbers are up while still pitching well. And, of course, you've got Peterson right now, who's the ace of the staff, coming off of, you know, one bad start. But I'm willing, you know, I think it's more than fair to say Peterson is still pitching very, very well, and you expect him to continue to do so. So you're down to a pitcher who's had one start, a reliever turned starter who hasn't thrown this many innings all year or all career, and David Peterson. That's the rotation right now. And I don't know if you're going to see bullpen games. I don't know if you're going to start calling up some of these prospects from AAA. I don't know what you're going to do to get through this. But to me, I still think Mauricio brings more to the table than Young. And right now it feels like you're going to need to score as many runs as you can. And this offense, and hopefully Pete and Soto can get hot at the same time, because we haven't seen that. We really haven't seen those two guys who have carried the team. And obviously, we're still in the midst of a Lindor slump. He's dealing with the broken pinky toe. It put him in a funk. I don't know if it's exclusively just because he's in pain or he got some bad habits while he was dealing with it. Whatever the case may be, he's clearly in a slump. And this offense is going to have to do what we've been talking about, what I've been talking about for the last 2 weeks. They have to be the unit that's going to help this team through this time, because there's only so much the bullpen can do. There's only so much this limited rotation, especially now after last night, is going to be able to do. This offense has to step up. Juan Soto's been doing it. The rest of the team has to start doing it with him. And if now Pete Alonso can get hot, three hits in this game, that can go a long way. And this win last night, from the dejection that team must have felt watching Griffin Canning, who, again, it's not even just that he's a teammate, and that's enough, but it's also this guy was making a name for himself. This guy was a relatively high draft pick with high expectations who's had a sputtering career. And he's come over to the Mets, and he's found himself. And he's pitching the best baseball of his career. And everybody knows that. And he's maybe on his way to making money. He's on his way to earning a contract. It's not just about, you know, the team. And that's the most important thing, obviously. But they all know this, man. They talk about this. They're, you know, they're businessmen. And Griffin Canning is on his way to signing a contract. Griffin Canning is on his way to, you know, maybe actually, you know, finding himself as a starting pitcher, getting a contract, making some money, having some security. To watch him go down in a heap and know the devastation of that injury, that is a tough, tough pill to swallow. You feel for that. You feel for the guy more than you even feel for the team in that moment. It's the manager's job to figure out how he's going to get through the next six and a third innings. But it's up to that team to be able to put the idea that their buddy, their friend, their guy who's, you know, impacted this team in such a positive way, who was on to having a career year. All that went away, and that team had to get off the deck and respond. And what you got from Warren, what you got from Nunez, what you got from the offense, what you got from what you got from Soto, what you got from Alonso, and the big hit from McNeil, that is one of those games that you can look back at. Off of this stretch, this is one of those games at the end of the year, assuming the Mets season goes the way we all hope it goes, the way we expect it to go, this is one of those games you look back and say, that was an enormous game. Because if they lose it, if Warren comes in and gets lit up, if they lose this game and lose 3 out of 4 to the Braves, and now the rotation's in the manner it's in, and everything else about it, and it's a dud, and the offense doesn't do anything, and the Mets go meekly into the night, the vibe around this team is completely changed. Instead, they don't. They rally. They get off the deck. They have a well-played game. They recapture first place in the division. They head into Pittsburgh off of a 2-game momentum swing, looking to take care of business and maybe have a 4, a 5-game winning streak. And suddenly you forget about losing 9 out of 10. That's how this works. The season is up and down. 3 weeks ago or a month ago, it was Philadelphia losing 9 out of 10. Then they got hot, recaptured first place. Now they're getting swept out in Houston while the Mets just won the last 2 games. It is an up and down 162 battle where you're going to have moments that you're tested. You're going to have moments you have to come through. There are going to be tentpole moments in a season that define who you are. And last night, the New York Mets had one of those moments to help define who they are. And they could have easily rolled over and said, well, what are you going to do? We lost our pitcher in the third inning. And we all would have been like, oh, that's a devastating blow. And we all would have understood. Instead, guys who have just been called up, guys who haven't had good years, step up out of the bullpen. They do enough offensively, and they win a huge game that should and hopefully will lead them into a hot stretch here, taking on Pittsburgh, taking on Milwaukee, and heading into the second Subway Series of the year. That's the stretch right now for the New York Mets. They go out to Pittsburgh. They come home from Milwaukee and the Yankees. This is now the time to get hot. This is now the time to turn it around. Their pitching is questioned, absolutely. You're going to have to find guys who step up. There's nothing, we've already talked about it. David Stearns has already talked about it. There's no one to go get. I know Evan all day today was trying to convince everyone he talked to that they should go trade for Jacob DeGrom. That's not happening. It's not happening right now. There's no one coming through that door. But last night they showed the ability to do it themselves, and hopefully that'll spark them. They're back in first place. They're taking on the lousy Pirates. It's time to build momentum. These next 2 games are important. This series is important. You can't stub your toe against Pittsburgh. You can't. It only works. This only is a big game if the next game's a big game. So this is a big stretch for the Mets. It was a really impressive win. It was a somber moment turned into a tentpole win. And the New York Mets hopefully are going to build some momentum off of it. 888-808-1019. We'll take your Met calls. We'll obviously get into the Yankees, too, as they were off last night. Freaking Boone. Unbelievable. All the runs they scored. 4 hits from Dominguez. 4 hits from Grisham. And he gives them both off tonight. In fact, he just said, let's not play. I mean, it's unbelievable. Trying to create some momentum. Trying to get things going. And Boone's like, let's not play tonight. It's infuriating. This guy was so soft. 888-808-1019. We'll talk about that. The Knicks made a draft pick, and you listen, this is it. This is the guy. I don't know anything about him. I don't know if he's going to be good. I don't know if I can't think of any 50 first picks overall that impacted teams in any major way, but I'm telling you this right now. He better be involved in that rotation. We better know exactly who he is and exactly what he can do and exactly how he plays, because he better be getting some freaking time. Otherwise, this coach is a disaster, just like the other one. He better get into this rotation. I don't want to see Mitchell Robinson playing all the time. I don't want to see all the starters playing all the time. Get that 51st pick in there. It's critical. It's critical. You got to be able to have him as an option late in the postseason. So the next coach better be doing his homework on him and everybody else in the organization, because they better all play. Otherwise, this Knick team is going down the tubes. Down the tubes, Mikey.
Talk New York sports with us. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 1228. Mick Monagle here with you on the Fan. 888-808-1019. So, Will Salmon, who covers the Mets for the Athletic, is reporting that Blade Tidwell is expected to join the club in Pittsburgh, which that obviously makes a lot of sense. And Sean Manaea said he felt good and normal after he resumed his throwing today. So, hopefully he's going to come back because they need him. Because clearly the rotation's down to three, and as much as Montas pitched well in his first start, he's certainly anything but a real good, you know, it's hard to feel overly good about him at the moment. I mean, not that I feel bad about him, but, I mean, we just haven't seen enough of him to know how he's going to pitch this year. He had one good start. He had a bunch of bad rehab starts. And clearly, you know, the one MLB start outweighs the others, but it's still, you're not sure about him. So they're in desperate need of Manaea to come back into this rotation. Hopefully it's going to be relatively soon. 888-808-1019. Moose is calling, and, you know, he was, I don't know, I'm assuming he was at the game because he wants to talk about the atmosphere. That must have been, those are one of those unique moments where, I mean, it is a major letdown when a pitcher goes down like that and walks off. Now, I don't know if in the crowd, we have, you know, the phones today, so I'm sure a lot of the crowd relatively quickly checked to see the highlights. It was, you know, it's posted on social media so fast these days. So I'm sure within 10, 15 minutes at the max, everyone in the crowd has seen the video. And unfortunately, we know. Like, I had a couple people hit me up on Twitter after the Mets put out an ankle. They're like, it's an ankle. It's not, why are you saying it's an Achilles? I'm like, well, first of all, I'm saying I hope I'm wrong. But we've all, like, you've seen it. We've seen it how many times? We saw it three times in the NBA playoffs in the last month. We all know what it looks like. It's unbelievable what's going on with the Achilles injuries in sports right now. It's crazy. I don't ever remember it. Like, me and Fleegan were talking about it. Soroka, right? It's him, and now Griffin Canning is the only ones I really remember having an Achilles injury in baseball. Both starting pitchers, both Mets Braves in Met Brave games, which is amazing. But we've seen it obviously in football. We're seeing two Jets within the last 2 years. Obviously, three star players in the NBA. It's become all too familiar, these Achilles injuries. It's crazy. I don't ever remember it. When you would say the Vinny Testaverde Achilles injury, it felt like, oh man, an Achilles, that's so rare. I know then Kobe had it, but like, it wasn't like this now where it's almost every other major injury. It's like pitching for Tommy John. It's like the Tommy John of every other sport. Only so many miles on that Achilles before it goes. That's what it feels like. It's crazy. But we saw it, and I'm sure the crowd knows that it's a devastating injury. He's on the ground. He's hobbled off the mound. And you know you're in for it. You know, what are they going to do? You can all feel it. And then as, you know, Warren starts pitching well, and as Nunez comes in and throwing great, and the offense picks up, and the Soto homer, and you just get a much better feeling about it. Obviously, it was, they were talking about on the broadcast, the My Girl from Lindor was particularly loud last night. Maybe the Met fan was really feeling it. So let's ask Moose in Somerset. Moose, what was it like in the building?
Hey, yeah, I mean, up until the injury and then about an inning after, it was loud, man. There was 42,000 of us in attendance.
Yeah.
My girlfriend got us some tickets. We were sitting right behind the Braves dugout.
Nice.
So some Braves fans that came in loud and left pretty quiet. But, you know, it was about as quiet as a stadium full of 42,000 people could get when he went down.
Yeah.
You know? And he really hobbled off the field.
Yeah, could put no weight on it.
But
it
you was, know what?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was pretty much being carried. You know. But, yeah, I mean, as a young Met Jet fan, like, the atmosphere there tonight, I have never experienced anything like it, you know. Like, we were loud, up on our feet at the end. You know, overall a great experience, but, yeah, when Canning went down, we were pretty quiet. So, yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to weigh in on that.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, you got it. Yeah, I mean, you could tell early on, like, they don't score. The first opportunity they get with a runner on third, they don't bring him home. And then when they, the next at bat, when they do bring him home, you could get the sense the crowd was really, really into it just on that fly ball. Just to score that run, you could sense the crowd needed it. And Alonso comes through with a couple of big hits. Soto scores on the sacrifice fly, obviously, not a home run. I think I said that twice. Idiot. But, yeah, you could tell the crowd was into it. After that, you got to get into it. That's a huge win. It is a huge win. And you could feel it. You could sense it. You could sense the tightness at, you know, when they don't score on the first at bat and then Taylor does hit the sacrifice fly. I thought the crowd was loud for just a run. Like, I thought they did a really nice job. So the atmosphere there at Citi Field was incredible. They needed it. It's a huge game against the Braves. And forget, like, this is a place too. Like, the Met fan in this building, it's been the best home field advantage in Major League Baseball this year. The Mets have played extremely well at home. They've played extremely well at home. And up until the Father's Day weekend sweep from Tampa Bay and what's followed, like, they really haven't struggled at home all year. And this fan base has had a lot of fun in the building. It's not quite, you know, there's no OMG, there's no grimace, there's nothing quite like that. They have the My Girl, obviously, for Lindor, and last night was particularly loud. But that's a night where the highs and lows, the roller coaster of that game and how the fan base must have felt watching it, because I can tell you right now, I don't know how you felt, Griffin Cannon goes down, I'm like, man, the Mets are screwed. That is a devastating injury. It's hard to recover from. The Braves have played well against them and owned them. I thought for sure the Braves are going to score a couple of runs. They got to throw in this kid. Like, I thought for sure they were in big-time trouble, and instead they come through. Alonso with a couple of hits, and again, the big hit, McNeil, that's a huge hit. That's a big hit, and it feels like these two games are kind of bookended by Jeff McNeil, and I have to admit, like, I've killed Jeff. I still don't know how I feel about him offensively. He's been terrible against the Braves, along with a lot of his teammates, but to start that game on Wednesday with that catch, that game is completely different if they fall behind 2-0. Completely different. I talked about this last night. Like, if they fall behind 2-0, we've talked about the at-bats are different for this team when they're chasing. The manager has said that. Like, they have done a good job leading and coming from ahead, but, like, behind, especially now, you fall behind 2-0 to the Braves, looking at three straight, looking at six straight losses to the Atlanta Braves. That catch changed the complete dynamic of that game. And then the two-run single that changes it from 2-4 in the seventh kind of changes the dynamic as well. You know you have Diaz ready to go, but still you have, you know, with the way this bullpen's gone, with the way this series has gone, two runs doesn't make you feel all that confident. A bloop and a blast, this game is tied. And right now with the Mets bullpen, it's tough to get into the last thing you want to do heading into a series in Pittsburgh and still playing games here. Like, is to go through this entire bullpen. You're going to have to bring up arms. Who knows how the rest of this week goes? Like, you don't want to go late into games. You don't want to go into extra innings. and a two-run lead isn't, you don't feel that good about it. Despite winning that whole game, wouldn't you feel like, oh man, it's only two runs? That is a huge hit. That changes the tenor of the game. I know it's the seventh. You got six more outs to get, but it changes the tenor of that game. To me, those two moments from Jeff McNeil, the start of game on Thursday, the end. He started it on Thursday. He ended it on Friday. He started it on Wednesday. He ended it on Thursday. And those two wins are enormous. And Jeff McNeil kind of is at the center of it. For a guy who's really struggled here. And ultimately, the overall picture of the New York Mets, it feels like, and maybe it's premature. Maybe it's premature, and all of this changes. If they do not have a good series in Pittsburgh, if they lose tonight in Pittsburgh, tomorrow on the Saturday show, I might have a different tone about the New York Mets. If they lose two out of three or have a really ugly series in Pittsburgh, we're certainly going to have a different tone Monday morning. But right now, it kind of feels like with these two wins against the Braves, salvaging the split after what felt like inevitable, they were going to lose three out of four, to lose the first two, come back, win the next two, do it in the manner in which they did last night, recovering from that devastating injury to Griffin Canning, it feels like for the moment they've stabilized it, and it feels like the stretch of bad play, it's kind of like a line of demarcation where it's like, okay, we're through it. It feels like, okay, we're through it. No guarantee they're going to turn around and play great. They still have questions inside the pitching rotation, clearly with all these injuries, but it feels like to end this series and start anew in Pittsburgh against the lousy Pirates, which I think they're going to, you know, miss Skeens in the series. So it kind of just feels like the line of, okay, it's over. Not necessarily that they're going to go torrid here, but this real bad stretch where they're losing every night, it feels like they've made it through. And having made it through, and now that it's over, they're half a game up in first place. Like, yes, they were up 5.5. They've lost 5 games over the stretch. But Philadelphia just got swept. The Mets have stabilized, made it through. Big win last night. Big two wins against the Braves. You're moving on to Pittsburgh, hopefully looking to build some momentum against the lousy Pirates. And it just feels like they've kind of made it through this really bad, really difficult stretch. And hopefully they're leaning into something new. Now, again, it's only good. This game is only good. The momentum they've built here is only good if they carry it into Pittsburgh. This series in Pittsburgh is a big series. There's just no doubt about it. You cannot squander what you just did these last two games by going and having a bad weekend in Pittsburgh. You just can't. They're dreadful. They don't care there. They're just, you know, in a bad, bad way. And what's Philadelphia doing this weekend? They are taking on... Philly is... Hold on.
In Atlanta.
That's right. They're going to Atlanta. That's right. They're going to Atlanta. So, one way or another, someone's going to lose. You'll be rooting for Atlanta this weekend. But they're going into Atlanta, coming off being swept and only scoring a single run in Houston. They lost 1-0, 2-0, and 2-1 last night. They have scored one run. And if you go back to the final game Sunday, one run in the last three. That's it. They have scored one run in the last three games. They were completely shut down. They've pitched fairly well. They only gave up 5 runs in the 3 games. But they've scored one run. They're going into Atlanta, and you're playing Pittsburgh. You tell me, Mets fans, 888-808-1019, how are you going to feel about this team if they go through this stretch, play miserably, lose 9 out of 10, blow a 5.5 game lead, we're even down to Philadelphia, lost 2 out of 3 to Philly, have lost 5 out of 7 to the Atlanta Braves. It's gone as bad as it could possibly go. You're dealing with injuries, the rotation, the whole bit. The bullpen, guys are starting to really, you know, flounder after having incredible seasons, whether it be Barazaban or whether it be, you know, Reed Garrett. Those guys are starting to come back to earth. Obviously, the rotation's in a mess. The bottom of the lineup, you're desperate for more bats. You got Vientos coming back, but you've made it through this stretch. If they go out and sweep Pittsburgh or take 2 out of 3 of Pittsburgh and gain another game on Philadelphia, and come Monday, they're a game and a half, 2 games up a game and a half, 2.5 games up on Philly. Like, you've made it through your miserable stretch. You're still on top of this division. You still, so far this year, have won 4 out of the 6 games played against Philadelphia, so you have the tiebreak against them at the moment. Like, you're going to feel a lot better about this team than you have over the last 2 weeks. Have a good weekend in Pittsburgh. See what Philly does in Atlanta. And suddenly you might be a couple of games up heading into Monday feeling a lot better and that you've made it through. And let's be honest, who's done a better job with pitchers than the Mets right now? If I were to trust an organization to deal with pitching injuries, I mean, one, it's the foresight that they have not to give big-time money to pitchers because they know they get hurt. Like, this is all part of the plan for the Mets. And unfortunately, they've been dealing with a ton. They got Senga, they got McGill, they got Manaea, now they got Canning. I mean, that's four. We went into the season talking about the depth of this rotation, how they like the depth, and they have 7 guys. Well, not really. Right? Montas gets hurt right away. Now they're dealing with, he's back, but they're dealing with Manaea still ready to, still not, haven't come back yet. And we'll see if that's relatively soon. Senga's going to be gone at least until after the All-Star break. McGill, who wasn't pitching well anyway at the time of his injury, but he's gone. And you got Paul Blackburn. Like, this is where you are. But it really feels like last night was a stabilizing win and hopefully one that they can turn it around. Because if they make it through, then you get Manaea back, right? Then you get a couple more weeks. You get the All-Star break. You come back with hopefully Senga ready to go relatively quick after the All-Star break. As long as you are right there with Philly, as long as you haven't allowed Philadelphia to come and jump up and take that big lead that you had, as long as it's not 5.5 the other way, you feel like you're getting healthier. Hopefully Vientos can find himself. I think he is now the key to the rest of, like, he is a huge part of this offense. Last year, he was a huge part of this offense. He was a huge part of the reason why they had such a resurgence through June and the rest of that year all the way to the NLCS. He was a huge part of it. And I know he struggled, and I know he was bad to start, but he was starting to find his swing again. And I don't think what he did last year, when you consider it also went into the postseason, a fluke. So, I mean, if he can find himself and give you that bat you had from him last year, the offense is going to take a big leap forward. You've got Soto now playing like he's playing. You've got Alonso hopefully getting hot. You got guys coming back. This was the bad stretch they had to weather, and it feels like they have. Get hot in Pittsburgh, take a 2-game lead, and after the All-Star break, as long as you are right there with Philadelphia, you got to feel good about the rest of this year. 888-808-1019. We'll continue to take your Met calls. We'll talk a little bit about the Yankees as well as they get a day off. A much-needed mental break for all of us fans who, you know, are bending over backwards to hate the team and be mad at the team. I don't understand it. I don't. Sal said it's not, you know, I mentioned Keith the other day. Keith, Sal, a lot of fans, you know, mad, you know, that they're soft. Somehow, that Carlos Rodon is soft because he didn't come out for the 7th inning. But we saw Max Fried continue to pitch the way he's pitched. And hopefully after this, you know, lousy stretch, they're about to turn it on themselves as they start a big series against the A's at home. I'll be in the building for the first time in a while tomorrow night taking the kids. So hopefully they get to start a big stretch here before going back on the road with a 3-game set against the lousy A's. Need a couple wins here.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
All right. 12:54. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. So, yeah, and listen, if you had to make game, call me, because we were just talking about, like, if it was finally a comfortable evening after a couple of days of just the weather's all over the place. It's rainy and cold for most of the beginning of this summer, or, you know, the June. We all consider, I always laugh about this. We always consider the first month of the season kind of, or the last month of the previous season, always the, like, June. When you say June, I think summer, even though 3 weeks of it is still spring. You say December, I think winter, although still the first 3 weeks of it are fall. You think March, you think spring. You get the gist. I don't have to go through all four of them. But like for the beginning of this month of June, which to me is summer, it's been terrible. Then it was hot for this stretch. Now finally it felt comfortable. 42,000 sold out for a huge game against the Atlanta Braves. You get the bucket hat, which by the way, I do have to say, the broadcast, they show Evan every once. So they know exactly where Evan's seats are, and they have fun showing Evan. And I guess he was excited to get the bucket hat. I was listening on and off today a little bit. There are some people, and I saw a couple tweets about it, saying that Evan doesn't know how to wear the hat. Let me just tell you something right now. There has never been an article of clothing or an accessory ever made more perfect for one person than that ridiculous bucket hat, which, by the way, it's not because it's a Met bucket hat. I'm not a bucket hat guy at all. I think they're all ridiculous. But that ridiculous Met bucket hat was made to be placed on the head of Evan Roberts. I don't care what anybody says. You could say, you don't think. Look at, it's all over Twitter. Look, or social media. Go look for it. You're telling me that Evan Roberts wasn't born to wear that dopey Met bucket hat? I'm surprised I'm surprised it hasn't found him earlier. Like, some way, or I don't know how he's gone this long without it. I was just talking about my wife about how we don't even remember what life was before our kids because my wife is going through the typical end of school year thing. Now my youngest is out of kindergarten. We're never going to have another one in kindergarten. They're getting so big. And I was talking about, you know, life's different. I don't even remember what it was like before I had kids. I don't even remember. And it's only been 8 years. So 8 years feels like an eternity. So we got plenty of more time. That's how I was playing the numbers game. You always play the numbers game to make people feel better about their age or whatever. So it's like, it's been 8 years, right? It feels like an eternity. I can't even remember what it's been like before. So 8 years is forever. He'll still be only 15, 16 years old in 8 years from now. We got plenty of time. Don't worry about it. And that's how I feel a little bit about, you know, Evan with that Met bucket hat. I don't know if he'll remember what life was before he got that hat. I think this is last night was a win. That's a line of demarcation for the Met season. I think this is a moment in Evan's life that will change him forever. Every barbecue, every summer function, every time he hits anywhere near the water. If he goes to the beach, he's going to Europe apparently this summer. He is going to be driving around Barcelona in a Mets bucket hat. Make no mistake about it. That hat will never leave his side.
But is he going to wear it correctly, or is he going to wear it like he was when they caught him on camera?
Yeah, I know. He's got like the back, like
he has the front
bit.
Totally down and the back totally folded up.
He's almost wearing it like a fedora, and it's a bucket hat. But yes. But no, I don't care. Still, however he wants to wear it, I don't care. It was made for him. There's no doubt about it. That is exactly, that article of clothing is exactly who he is. If he would have, the big day that sticks in my mind about him and his clothing was obviously Craig Carton's Hall of Fame, Radio Hall of Fame celebration. So obviously we were all part, him and he was the co-host of the show, for crying out loud. But Carton and Roberts, so he was invited, I was invited, Tommy was invited, we all went. And we all got dressed up. It was at a fancy place in Manhattan. I forget the name of it now, but it was at this very fancy place. And Evan shows up in like, you know, cargo shorts and, you know, a collared polo with like stripes on it. He looked like he was 6 years old on the first day of like summer vacation. It was embarrassing how he dressed. I'm there in a full suit. Everybody's wearing it. And there's Evan in these shorts. It was ridiculous. If he had the bucket hat then, he would have worn it to that event. He would have been perfect. That bucket hat is made for Evan Roberts. There's just him sitting there. The picture too has his family in it and his kids kind of looking up, not paying attention to the game, and he is hyper focused with his book, with his bucket hat, sitting in his seats at Citi Field. That is Evan Roberts Nirvana. That's exactly where he wants to be. It's exactly what he wants to look like. It's exactly what he wants to be doing. And he was treated to arguably the biggest win of the season. He was treated to a game that felt like, through three innings, was going to be a devastating game. They were going to have to go to their bullpen. They were going to run through their bullpen. They were going to lose. They've lost Griffin Canning. It was going to be one of those nights that is a disaster against the Atlanta Braves, losing 3 out of 4 in the series, not taking advantage of the Phillies getting swept out in Houston. They were still going to be in second place. It was still going to be a disaster. It was going to be one of those nights that the Met fan is used to. And instead, they got off the deck. They came back. The offense does enough. Jeff McNeil with the big hit to make it a 4-run lead. You got Nunez, Warren first, then Nunez coming to this game. They do an incredible job. The bullpen does its job. They shut out the Braves and have their best win of the season. And instead of crying in his bucket hat, Evan was driving home with all the glory, probably not allowing his kid to wear it even though he asked him to. 888-808-1019. No, get your own bucket hat. It's my bucket hat. You definitely see Evan doing that.